Nice. And welcome to Grumpy Gamers. I'm joined here with Eddie.
Hello.
And with Pete.
Hello.
See, was that good? That was better than Eddie's last week, surely.
Oh, it's definitely better than Eddie's first attempt.
I'd say not very charismatic, but fine.
I thought I could have entered with higher volume, but I didn't do that. So that's a little bit annoying.
You absolutely bellowed hello. And then everything else came in at moderate level.
Was just a bit
okay.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah. And the
right,
fact that you asked this for a moment of silence as opposed to can you shut up?
Yes, I know. Who says that?
Lent it a really somber tone.
If you ever say moment of silence, that's only ever for like someone who's just died, right?
Yeah, I was turning it into a religious experience.
A morbid experience, for sure. I mean, that's how we want to start off. That's the tone we're trying to set. Morbid.
Regardless, doesn't matter. Let's get on with it. Right. As usual, we'll be going through the news, new releases, some reviews of the games that we talked about last week, what we've been playing, and then our feature this week will focus on survival games, online survival games, and which are the good ones and which ones should we be playing. I think this has really come about through the success of Valheim in the last week or two, so which we will be talking about a lot. So, let's get into it. Who wants to start with the news story?
Well, if we're talking Valheim, I'll start with the news, I guess.
yours is the Valheim one. Let's go.
It is. In fact, I've actually got two. And the first one to give our listeners some context here. Valheim is a brand new game on Steam. And in, week two of its release, it's got more people playing it than GTA 5 or PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds.
And also, it's the biggest survival game ever to launch on Steam.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's doing pretty well. It's doing pretty well. So it's had up to 160,000 concurrent players, which put it fourth on Steam. And this is an early access survival game.
Oh, Pete, I heard 300,000 now.
Even more. Even better. More up-to-date news. There we go.
That's what I provide. That's what I bring to the table.
That's what you bring to the table. But the biggest thing I wanted to talk about with this is that there is still a potential world-breaking bug in the game. Richard Svensson, who is one of the creators, put out a tweet over the weekend just saying, if you're still playing Valheim, please back up your world and characters. The evil world destroyer bug is still roaming free. It appears to be linked to leaving the game using Alt F4 as opposed to menu and exit. But they haven't been able to recreate the issue themselves, and they seem to be struggling to find a way to get rid of it. They did actually put out some instructions on how to back up your game. It's basically just making a copy of some files, and then you're safe. But it is quite a major factor for the player base at this point.
So if you don't exit via Alt F4, are you cool?
Yeah, essentially that's what they're saying, but I don't know if that's consistent. It just appears to be linked.
So try to use menu and then exit. But what if you're just clicking on the cross and you're just getting rid as normal? Would that be
errors? I think it could. And at the end of the day, I think there may be people who are experiencing it even if they close it properly. It just seems to be a better case to just back up your game. The files are so tiny in this game, you may as well anyway. Yeah. It's not like it's taken up room.
It's early access. It's cool that they've put out this tweet anyway, because it's just keeping in touch with the community. I mean, the community probably expects this, but I know I've listened to some podcasts this week where people have put in, somebody said they put in 120 hours already.
Yeah.
I mean, that's intense.
That person's been furloughed.
it's mental. On the same podcast, somebody was talking about putting in 108 hours to the new Assassin's Creed game, and then this guy piped up and said, I've played 120 hours of Valheim this week.
It's only 144 hours in a week.
It's like you've played all the time. Well, to be fair, that I think his job is basically that and editing.
That's even just over 5 hours sleep a day you're giving yourself there.
He's played 120 hours total.
Less than that.
It must have been. When did it release? Was it
the second? Yeah, second of Feb.
fucking still, this podcast was on Saturday, so still, that is serious time. Like, fuck, have you not been doing anything else?
Yeah. That is pulling 12-hour days, but on a game. That's,
Jesus.
That's awesome.
That's Evan from the Spawncast. Fucking hell.
Good effort.
Absolutely. Shall I go next?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. So, there was... We kind of didn't go into a story last week, which was Stadia, Google shutting down their Stadia internal studios for developing games. So a couple of weeks ago, we did a feature on the future of gaming and online gaming, didn't we?
We did.
Streaming, in particular.
Yeah.
And Google Stadia featured quite heavily in that. And, you know, it hasn't done well since it launched 14 months ago, but it was a rocky launch. But some people do actually enjoy Stadia and use it, and the concept works, which you would expect. I mean, I don't think that's something to be celebrated. You would expect that you release something and it does conceptually and actually work. Much like
I don't know, mate. Cyberpunk devs think of it.
That is a great point. That is a great point. Google, unfortunately, 14 months in, decided to have a major strategy rethink. Phil Harrison confirmed the closure of the two main internal game studios based in Montreal and Los Angeles. And their focus previously was to be basically console rivaling, so to create these studios. And then, effectively, they've come out and said... These games take, what do they say? Creating best-in-class games from the ground up takes many years and significant investment, and the cost is going up exponentially. what did they think?
Yeah.
Well, obviously they thought people were going to invest in Stadia so they'd have money to pump in, but it's just, it's crazy that even you get the biggest companies like Google getting involved, and you know Amazon are getting involved as well, and how they seem to be failing or non because of their, they seem to be entering the gaming market because they're going, this is lucrative. But they're not gamers and they don't know how to do it. And, you know, when Stadia, when they first announced Stadia, they did it at a tech conference. Like it's just the wrong audience. You're just, Amazon, I feel, are going down the same route. But since then, a couple of days later, this week, they have confirmed that over 100 games will be coming to Stadia this year. So Stadia is still up and running. It's just that they've shut the internal studios to make their own games. So instead, they've offered up their tech to third-party studios to make games and everything. But even Cyberpunk isn't the version of the game that's on the console. It's or on PC. It's a port. They had to get a special team. There's a specialist team that ported Cyberpunk to Stadia. Mm-hmm. So it's not even that it just ran on a super PC and it's just the PC version of the game, which I find is fucking mental. But I think there's a lot of questions to come out of this, and Stadia users must be thinking like, okay, well, they've really ditched the studios. Now is Stadia now dying? And what happens to all my kit when I buy it? Like, if you have a Steam account, you've got that account forever. There's games that I've bought 5 years ago that are on my Steam account. And it's attached to my Steam account, which goes on my computer, and I can download the material and that type of stuff. Stadia, no downloads. They turn it off. It's done. You don't own anything. It really brings into question the concept of ownership and digital games and everything like that. I think this being a rival to xCloud just is not a thing now, and Microsoft have an even clearer path to victory in the streaming market now.
You would think so. It's not a good sign for Stadia, that's for sure. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with it and whether anything is salvaged. You know, they're clearly intending to still keep it running and use it purely for streaming as opposed to for creation. But can you see that working in a market with the competitors it's got?
Well, the issue it had was it had all these features that... Do you remember initially it said like, okay, your favorite YouTuber would be playing a game and then you could request to join that game?
Yeah.
Or you can see a game on like a review of a game on IGN or something, watch it on YouTube, and then you just can click play that game, and it'll just buy the game and play the game. And it's just all bollocks. Like, it's all nonsense. It's like Microsoft when they released the Xbox One originally, and it was like, oh, yeah, well, you're going to have this this desktop where on the right-hand side you can have the football scores, and on this screen over here you can have your TV playing, and over here you can have your game, and it's just all fucking nonsense. Like, you've got the people behind the team, the tech team's going like, holy shit, they have just told everyone that we could do this, and we literally have no idea. Like, that's a disaster. Yeah. And I don't know where it goes, because it's just a shitty little platform that and it hardly plays on anything. Like, what? Yeah. So Google Stadia, you have to have a Pixel phone. I used to have a Google Pixel phone, but just because it was just random that I had that phone. Like, I didn't choose it for, it had a good camera at the time, but who gives a fuck how good your camera is on your phone? Like, it doesn't...
I mean, half the world, but yeah.
Yeah, half the world. Everyone else. I don't take any pictures. But you know, it's just nonsense. Like, you've got to have their phone. You've got to fuck it. It's just... Why don't you just... You need to get it out on as many things as possible. This needs to be integrated with everything. But
yeah,
they're just fucking it up. It's just terrible.
Yeah, it's just... It's not gone well. It's not gone well. I think we can safely say they're not going to be a big part of the future of gaming.
I think so. Yeah, especially if they close the studios. Like, well, what the fuck are you supposed to... What, so you're a third-party machine and we've already got one of those and it's called an Xbox?
Yeah, which also has extras.
Well, yeah, allegedly at some point in the future.
It's got one.
You oh, yeah, it's it. Got one game. Yeah, yeah. I played it. I rated it. I rated that game.
Yeah, there you go.
Poorly.
Yeah. Right. Eddie, what's your story this week?
Mine is just a release of a game, actually. It's a new Warhammer game. That's why I brought this to the table, because I'm a big fan of my Warhammer games. It's a new game called Warhammer 40K Battle Sector. For those of you who don't know, Warhammer 40K is the one that's set in the future, hence 40K. But it's all space battles and all that sort of thing. So this game, the reason why I'm excited about it, because they keep on bragging about how similar it is to the actual tabletop game. They released the publisher's Slytherin. Isn't Slytherin a house in Harry Potter?
It is, yeah. I think we can tell. These guys really put their nerd colours on the walls, didn't they?
Yeah.
They're making a Warhammer game named after a Harry Potter house. With a slightly different spelling.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Oh, is it? Oh, well, there you go. There you go. They got something else on the table.
That's good knowledge. That's good knowledge for when you play Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah, not playing that. But yeah, so they dropped a few trailers, a few gameplay trailers, not the fucking trailers we used to these days. And it looks pretty good. So their description: Battle Sector is described as battle scale, and based on the gameplay that we have here, is a single is a scale bigger than leading turn-based strategy game XCOM, but smaller than the likes of Warhammer 40K Armageddon. To me, Battle Sector looks like around 1,000 points worth of units in a tabletop game, give or take 500. In the tabletop games, you have points by how many like units you can bring to the battle. Basically, this means hero units should play a big part in the tide of battle. So that sounds pretty amazing. It looks, yeah, I think it's good that they've hit on the XCOM thing, because it looks like XCOM but more grid based. So I'm excited by it, because I think Warhammer with Total War is brilliant, but I felt like it needed more kind of turn based strategy game to really have a great game. So this could go one of two ways. It could be brilliant, it could be game breaking, or it could go into obscurity like every single other Games Workshop game. So
it feels like these games are niches, aren't they? Like, nobody like randomly picks this type of game up unless they're into this type of series, right?
Well, here's the thing. I feel like the reason why Games Workshop are literally throwing everything at the wall with games is because all it takes is one good game and it could break everything, because you've got your stable market. You have got everyone who loves Warhammer are going to buy it, even if it's absolute shite. So you've got that stable. So you know you can release a game and probably make your money back, maybe a little bit of a loss. Now, all you need is a great game that gets everyone else in, because you've already got your stable market, and then to bring other people in, it could be, you know, like, I feel like they're always waiting for that cash cow to come in, but it just hasn't worked so far. I mean,
yeah, that one hit. Yeah.
Well, I think.
Sorry, really quickly. Once they have that one good game that, you know, all reviewers say amazing and everyone hears about it, then every game that they release in the future, which, let's be honest, is about 4 a year, is going to have a little bit extra people, more people investing in it. So, I see what they're doing and I respect them for it, but they just need to make a good game.
Yeah.
Just difficult, apparently.
Well, see, this is the thing, isn't it? Is I think they're trying to get the same or better than they got with Total War. Because that one is massive. That one went huge.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually got lucky where the Venn diagrams overlapping between Warhammer fans and Total War fans, instead of just the guys in the middle buying it, it was everyone in both Venn diagrams kind of went, okay, let's go. So they won with that one. And they're just looking for other ways to do it. But
yeah, that one does seem to be the winner, doesn't it? That one really does.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's very much a Total War game. So I think anyone who thinks of that in the future, they will not think Warhammer. They will think Total War. And I feel like they need to get that. And you know what's great about this is that, and I know I normally criticize this, is they've looked at XCOM and they've gone, that's kind of what we need to do in this game. So hopefully, because they've used the same mechanics as it, maybe a lot of people who like the XCOM series will then go to play that. But you never know, do you?
I think as well. Go on, Ben. Go on.
So the XCOM type games really have a huge fucking following there, don't they?
Yes.
I mean, even Nintendo got in the act with Mario and Rabbids. And then you have like that Mutant, what's it called? The Mutant game?
Mutant Dawn Zero or something like that.
Yeah, on Game Pass.
Yeah, like, that was good.
That one looks pretty good.
There's loads. I bought Phantom Doctrine. That's a very good game. Recommend that.
Even the new Gears game, Gears Tactics.
Yeah.
That's XCOM style. Any XCOM style game seems to do quite well because people know what to expect.
You can't fuck up with it.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. If you've got a nice storyline that goes along with, and you get character investment, maybe a bit of permadeath, lovely. Like, people love that.
The problem with games like that for me is I compare it to XCOM every time, and XCOM really did such a great job that I'm always a little bit disappointed.
I get that. We've got a few other stories dotted about at the top of our dock here, haven't we?
We do.
What's this PS5 plates one?
Yes. So I can't remember. We at one point talked about the plates on the PS5 around the time of the release.
Yeah, that's right. And someone like making fake ones and selling them, and then he got told.
Yes. Yes, they were. And this is basically. Another company has done this and have labelled their website with the phrase, go ahead, sue us.
Well done.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so this is a company called Dbrand, and they've launched their replacement plates, which they call Dark Plates, which have, what was the exact quote? Where is it? Hold on. We've taken Sony's monumental achievement in bad design and fixed it, and we can only assume that our prize is in the mail.
Brilliant.
So let me have a look at these.
Yeah, I thought you might like this.
Oh, they do look quite stylish, to be fair.
They do.
Lovely matte black.
Precisely. And so they've also added in, when you look at the microscopic texture inside the dark plates, what do you see? Totally legal. If your answer is familiar but legally distinct apocalyptic spin on the classic PlayStation button shapes, you might be one of our lawyers. So they are literally going all out on this concept, unlike the other company whose name I'm sorry to say escapes me, who basically
wasn't it PlateStation?
Yes, it was PlateStation. Thank you. They obviously abandoned ship, cancelled all their orders, and just stopped. Well, it looks like these guys have taken the exact opposite tack, and I kind of love that.
I wonder, like, you probably seek legal advice and you got lawyers saying like, no, it should be fine because X, Y, Z. And then the Sony hounds just descend from the hills on you and you go, oh, shit. And then no orders get fulfilled. So I don't know. That could be a little watch this space one, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could. It'll be an interesting one.
Yeah. I like the look of it. I mean, to be honest, because PS5s are in such scarce supply, I wouldn't be fucking around with my PS5 right now. Like, if I was going to be replacing plates or something. But I have been known to, like, take things apart and stuff in the past and look inside and replace bits and stuff. So I could do it, but not on something that expensive and such a scarce supply right now.
Fair.
Yeah, fuck that noise. And then the Last of Us story this week, that was a big one, wasn't it?
Huge.
Yeah. Very happy about that.
Yeah, so does anyone want to go into the detail on this? So they got casting of the show, right?
Yeah, so Pedro Pascal is playing Joel. Is it Joel?
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Mandalorian himself.
Yeah, indeed.
From Mandalorian, also from Narcos. What's his name? Game of Thrones. Yeah. He's an amazing actor. Absolutely huge fan of him. The only reason why I watch The Mandalorian is because of him. And fucking hell, did he not disappoint? Yeah, what a guy, what an actor. So for him to play that, yeah, I think
he's just at the height of his fame, though, isn't he? So it makes sense because he really is at, like, the only other one that I could really think of is I can't even fucking think of him. Well, Wolverine. He's Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
I could see Hugh Jackman playing him.
See, there were some rumors of Nicolai Costa-Waldo going for
who's
the role.
Who's
Jaime from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So there was clearly a Game of Thrones bent going around.
Well, especially because of the other casting, right?
He would have been fantastic, but let's be honest, there's no one bigger than Pedro Pascal right now. So it speaks volumes about how good this could be. Because let's be honest, when there's a TV show or a movie about a game, it normally flops. I think the fact that The Witch has come along has maybe made people sit up a bit and go, hang on, these could be quite good. And then
this, you're right.
Could be absolutely massive.
I tell you what, I really wonder, like, let's say the first series goes well. We haven't actually said who the other cast member is, but we'll just say that in a sec. But I wonder if this first season goes really, really well and they go, then they don't necessarily jump into that second game. And maybe they go the first season, it could be the whole first game, or could be, I think it would be a bit stupid to stretch it out, but they could do some event like stuff in between, or maybe even play a different story out.
Indeed.
That could be something Indeed. They do because of the fanfare around it. They could do a whole Game of Thrones type thing of, I mean, Game of Thrones is a bit different because the book hadn't been written, but just saying, look, we're taking the world, we're taking the universe, and we're just doing a parallel.
Yeah,
and we're just taking the story where we want, with the authority of the writers, on a different direction. That could definitely happen. But Bella Ramsey? That's the other casting.
Yeah. Bella Ramsey, yes, who is also from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Has she done anything else?
I don't know.
Was very young in Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
though, wasn't she?
Yeah. She is very young.
Like, I couldn't see Ellie in her, but I don't know, let's see how it pans out, because obviously it's a few years ago she was in Game of Thrones, so
yeah.
I don't know what she looks like now to associate her with Ellie, but I'm excited about this show, because, and I'm excited for people like you guys who haven't played The Last of Us to see the show, because you'll be well into watching the show. You wouldn't necessarily play the game, but watching the show, I'm sure you'll get into it.
I don't know. I know some pretty huge spoilers for it, so I'm not sure.
No, but they're all from the game, which aren't. Abby isn't there, and who's going to play Abby? True. I mean, come on.
What I also like about this, Ben, is you saying I don't have any pictures to refer what she might look like as Ellie, when if you just click the link so kindly provided for you, there's a casting photo. It's literally in the middle of the page.
Pete, you know what I love about this is when we've been going down the dock, Ben, instead of clicking on the link, highlights the whole thing. And I know what he's doing. Him and his fucking tech retardedness is copy and pasting it into a new tab. I bet he's not even highlighting it. Brand new window.
Yeah,
and I bet he's not even control-C-ing.
I am control-C-ing. I'm control-C-ing, I'm control-V-ing, baby. Yeah. You don't know. You don't know.
No, we should have assumed that one. He spends all his life on Excel. He knows control-C, control-V.
What am I supposed to do? Highlight over it and then click on the... Oh, you can't click on it. Yeah, of course,
you could
yeah,
just right-click just literally anywhere on it as well.
Yeah, just click it. Just click it. I bet I'm surprised you're not opening a new tab and typing in.
such a fucktard using Control-C, Control-V. Such a fucktard.
Fucking nerd.
What I like most about it is the juxtaposition of... The juxtaposition of this this conversation with Ben saying, I do sometimes tinker with things and take them apart.
I did fix some controllers and I fixed up my Joy-Cons real nice. And I was buying broken ones on eBay to fix up.
Man, so you can't operate a hyperlink, but you can do that.
Yeah, I realize now you can just hover over the article and then it appears. The article right literally appears. You just click.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
All right. I did two additional steps. Control-C, Control-V. Like,
you open the new window as well, Ben.
Three additional steps. Yeah, you're not wrong. That's a 50% increase.
On a one-step situation.
Yeah. Okay. We move the fuck up.
Sure, take us the new releases.
That's the news. 3-0 Weep. Nice work. Proud of yourselves.
Quite happy about it.
I am. Yeah.
Right. Right. The reviews of the last of the games that came out last week, they've come out. They're on Metacritic. So, Little Nightmares 2, which looks actually really good. It has an 82 right now, and there's a demo of it on all consoles. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Awesome.
I was thinking about downloading that last night, so I might check it out. It's that reduced 30 quid. Price tag, like we were saying last week, but I've heard it's about 4 hours long. Like, I watched Worth a Buy's review of it. Did you watch that, Eddie?
Yeah.
He said it was incredibly frustrating. What I do think some of the reviews are saying is that there's a set path for you to go down to complete a different section, and it's effectively kind of like trial and error. So I'm kind of likening it in my mind of saying, you know, when you can like walk in a straight line or walk right, left, or whatever. You have to do it in a certain way, a certain path, in order to do it correctly as the game would like. So I think that looks a bit of a drawback, but it looks like a lovely game. And it's got some cool puzzles, so I've heard. So,
Really short. I mean, the first one was like 12 hours. Well, was it? 10 hours.
Was it?
I'm a completionist, so I may be looking at it in the longer term anyway.
The 4 hours I've said has just been what Worth by said, so I'm assuming that he's fairly accurate with his timings. But
and to be honest, I'm probably thinking of all achievements anyway.
Yeah, so I'm sure if you stretch this one out, then it would be more as well. But anyway, 82, which seems for such a short game, seems like quite a high score. Then the other big release last week was Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. So that has a 90 on Metacritic, which is kind of what you'd expect, really. But what I have heard is the Bowser's Fury section, which you can jump into straight away, is actually a bit of a lease of life on the Mario games, Mario format. And it's really, really fun, really, really good. It's only about 3 to 4 hours long. So, again, it's not too much, but it's just an addition on the original game. And another thing they've done is they've sped up Mario's movement in the normal Super Mario 3D World game, which makes it play better, so people say. So if you like Mario games, if you've got Switch, then it seems like a no-brainer. Not for me, but we'll but yeah, 90 on Metacritic, that sounds pretty good. So moving on to the games that are coming out this very week, I've highlighted two for us to talk about. The first one is Persona 5 Strikers, which it comes out on PS4 digital. I fucking hate when they do this, but digitally it comes out on the 19th. Yep. So if I ordered it on the PS4, it would come out on the 19th. If you get it physically on the PS4/PS5 or Switch, then it comes out on the 23rd. I've ordered mine physically, so I'll wait for it because I want to play it on the Switch. But I fucking hate that. You know, that's just
going to buy it on the 19th as well.
It's such a dogshit move, though, isn't it? It's such a fucking anyway.
I don't know. I'm not so big on physical copies as you, so I'm not so bothered by it.
Well, no, because you're a gamer.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of been the trend for years, that you don't have physical copies. When's the last time have you When's the last time have you actually bought a disc for your PC?
Oh, God. I don't even know.
Does yours even have a disc drive?
I don't think so.
I'm looking at my Alienware now. There's not a disc drive, obviously. Like, there's not a disc drive. So, like, you talked about a game, like, a few weeks ago, Eddie, that you had, that your computer couldn't play. Yeah. Yeah, and then you got a new computer, and it doesn't even have a disc drive. So.
Yeah, that's it.
So, that's the world we live in. Those fucking bastards want me to get it on the 19th. But I will prevail and hold out. Hold fast until the 23rd. And talking about that game, it's because it came out in Japan about like 6-9 months ago, called really? Persona 5 Scramble. It's been out for ages in Japan, but only in Japanese. So what you can do if you're English is if you can turn your Switch into the Japanese, then sign up on the eShop there. You can download a demo of it and you can play it in English. It seems like a laborious procedure. I'm not going to bother doing that.
But
to all intents and purposes, I've seen a lot of reviews of this game, and it's reviewed exceptionally well. And it is viewed as a sequel to Persona 5. So it's a Dynasty Warriors style type game. But it's not just got a Persona 5 skin on it. It's actually an action RPG, and it's got all the cutscenes that you'd expect and all the fanfare that comes in, all the anime stuff that comes with Persona 5. It's got the like time stopping, using your personas. It seems excellent. I am really, really looking forward to this game, like Persona 5 in an action RPG environment. People are calling it, the only thing missing is the two at the end of the name, because people are really seeing it as a genuine sequel to the original game. So and it makes constant references back to the original game and everything. So that's going to be really cool. The other game that I wanted to talk about, and you might want to highlight this, but you can't right click and put this in the dock. You've got to highlight this and put in a new tab. But King of Seas comes out on the 18th. I really quite like the look of this little action role-playing game. It's a pirate-based role-playing game set in a deadly procedurally generated pirate world.
Nice.
I don't know what money this is gonna kind of drop at. If it's like 15 quid or something, then great. But it's out on PS4. It's out on Switch. I think it's out on PC. But I thought this could look quite good. It either looks shit or good. I can't quite decide. Like a shit mobile game, or actually something that could be quite fun. So I thought it was one probably to point out, but it's out in 3 days' time. It's out on the 18th, so I might check out Buster, that one, because it's sparking something up. But the other games out this week, which I know absolutely nothing about, there's 30XX that comes out on PC on February the 17th. We've got ReZero Starting Life in Another World, The Prophecy of the Throne. What a shit cunting title that is.
Ben, have you seen the game? Have you seen the game?
I did. I tried to have a look earlier.
You bought it.
Yeah, I did have a look earlier, and I didn't like the look of the cover art, so I sacked it off.
Horrendous. It looks like right up your street.
It looks like a JRPG, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine.
God, I'm surprised it's not in bed with Catherine with a Q. That's what it looks like.
Okay, Jesus. Well, that's out on the 19th of February on the PC, PS4, and Switch. And the other game I have highlighted, Rogue Heroes, Ruins of Tassos. And I think that, again, looks like a JRPG. That's out on the 23rd of February on PC and Switch. So not beyond the two that I've highlighted, Persona and the King of Seas one, which could be absolute fucking dog shite. beyond those two, I don't think there's an awful lot out this week that people really need to care about. But and Persona 5 is kind of technically out next week, so not a huge week for games.
Yeah. Not a massive one, no.
Well, I mean, we've had Valheim.
That's true. Well, that was 2 weeks ago, but yes.
So I think that leads us nicely onto what we've been playing this week.
Certainly.
I know we've got a big game to talk about, so we are going to talk about Valheim. That is the one where we're gonna focus on, because we've all been putting in a few hours on that one. But anybody been playing anything else this week, Eddie?
Yeah, I've been dabbling on Fallout 4 of all games. Just old leading school. On from our leading on from what we were chatting about the other week about 2015 games. I absolutely love it. I mean, the amount of times I've gone back to Fallout 4 is insane. I think it's I'm gonna go as far and say it's one of my favorite games of all time. I would put it in the top five. I know a lot of people give it jip, but no, I think it's incredible. I think with the mods, it has such replayability. Like, when I went back to it this week, I just installed some mods, weapon mods, and it just felt like a completely new game. And the whole game, you're excited about the thwack of the new weapons you've got. So, yeah.
My question, Eddie, Fallout 4 is on Game Pass. Can you use mods on the Game Pass version?
Ooh.
You should be able to.
Game Pass with PC, yes, you'll be able to.
How do you apply mods to the game?
So if you I shouldn't give them a shout out, but Nexus mods are very, very good. Yes. They are security whatever checked. So a lot of them what you've got. But also they really break it down for you, Ben. If you literally type in how to install Nexus mod onto a game, it's so, so simple. In fact, even if you go onto the mod you want, it'll have instructions there. It's literally as easy as download, open up your docs, and then drag it over into the mod section of the game.
And I know, like, on Steam, you can get specific ones that are just loaded into Steam anyway and stuff like that. Yeah. But it's more about, like, the Xbox version of these games, like, you need to be able to mod those, don't you? Like, and I know Xbox does have mods for Fallout. It does actually have those in there. But I'm just wondering about the Game Pass version, like, how you'd apply them.
I assume because with Game Pass, you're still installing it onto your drive. I would have thought it would be as easy as opening up in documents and literally copying it over. And unless for some reason it's security coded, which I can't see it being, I think it'll be fine.
Quite often they'll have mod support built in anyway. Things like Crusader Kings, there's a mod support built in. So the moment you open it from Xbox for PC.
Oh, brilliant. And you played that on Game Pass, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
All right, and you have no problems with mods there?
None at all.
Awesome. Oh, that's cool. And I wonder about the console version specifically, because I know they did have Fallout mods, and not to the extent that you can on PC, obviously. But I know that they did have mods for Fallout on Xbox. Well, just wondering how they applied, really.
I play Fallout 4 mostly on Xbox, because then I can play, for example, this week it's because I'm playing Football Manager on my PC, and that's kind of what I'm playing. And I know Fallout 4, I know the game so well that I can just play it casually. And when you go on the main section, you just go to mods, and literally it comes up with all the Steam mods. They're not even close to as good as Nexus mods.
Yes,
but
they're
still a considerable amount. So there's enough to keep you interested. So I don't know. If you do that on your console, I'm sure, because obviously that's the game itself where you go into mods. So I'd be very surprised if you clicked on mods in the game and it just went no. I reckon they'll still be there.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's cool. Shall I go with my bit?
Yeah.
Because mine's a bit of a twist this week, because I haven't specifically. I mean, I've been playing Football Manager on the Switch still, because it's just so easy. Like, it's been again one of those weeks. I was looking at all my games last night on the Switch, just like, what do I want to play? What do I play? Actually, I just want to watch something on Netflix and play something mindless, and that's Football Manager for me. One thing that I did buy this week was it's called the OVIO Pro Controller clip. That's OVIO, and it's on Amazon. It was $13.99, and basically, if you've got a Pro Controller, which a lot of Switch users have a Pro Controller to play on their TV, because then the Pro Controller is one of the best controllers out there, and it also is better for stick games. So, like, if you're playing first-person shooters on your Switch, to use the Joy-Cons, because the length of the stick is shorter than a normal stick, it means that your movement and your swing time from left to right, up, down, whatever, is slightly different than you'd normally experience, let's say, on an Xbox controller. But the Pro Controller is a normal games controller, and also the Pro Controller for me has the added benefit that when you play something like Warzone on PC, the trigger, the R2 and L2 buttons on the Pro Controller are analog. They're you know, binary, just click in. So they don't, it's not a pressure one like the Xbox and the PS. So if you're using a semi-auto rifle or something, you can shoot a lot quicker with a Switch controller than you could with an Xbox controller. So it's got different benefits, but I just really like the Switch Pro controller. But I don't use my controller that much unless I'm playing on PC, because I don't play on the TV much. I play handheld. But now there is an opportunity with this OVO Pro controller clip to basically clips in your Switch kind of screen system.
Yeah.
And you clips it onto your controller, and you've got total freedom of movement. And I thought this could be quite heavy in your hands or whatever, but no, it's actually fantastic. So I started playing Everspace like a week ago, and I was like, I'll get into Everspace, roguelikes and the like, get back into, you know, now that I've played Hades. I couldn't handle the stick movement of Everspace. Is someone clicking?
Yeah. What the fuck is that?
What the fuck is going on there?
Sounds like a mouse is attacking one of your mice. Well,
what is cracking on there? But yeah, I and we move swiftly on.
What?
But so I got back to playing Everspace, but I couldn't use the Joy-Cons because, like, of the sticks on them. But the Pro Controller is just brilliant. And I was saying to you, Pete, in the week, like, one of the reasons I didn't enjoy playing The Witcher so much on the Switch was because I like playing everything on handheld, and the Joy-Cons just didn't do it for me. So this is just an opportunity to have it, like, it basically puts a mini TV screen with your controller, like on top of your controller, and it's not too heavy. You can move it around so easily for $13.99. I think it could be one of the best investments that I've made for accessories.
Fair enough.
I thought I'd just point out, because the other main accessory, and I do think there's another real key accessory that if you're a Switch owner and you like to play handheld, and, you know, if you don't play handheld and you're a Switch owner, then I don't really know why you've got a Switch. One of the other thing is the Satisfy Zen Grip, which you can now buy on Amazon. So I bought this, I think Kickstarter originally.
Is that the insanely wide one?
Yeah. Your Switch fits into this grip, right?
Yeah.
And you see a lot of them on Amazon or whatever. It basically, but this is, I think, in my opinion, the best one. I did buy my X one for a Switch Lite, and I might have preferred that one slightly better. But anyway, this one here, this is called the Satisfy, and that's spelled quite weirdly. It's Satisfye, Zen Grip, and you slip your Switch into this grip, and it basically, you know, the Joy-Cons are like really thin, and they're quite crappy to hold. Like, I hated a Switch in my hands just feel shit. Like, I really hate the Switch. Like, the actual Switch feeling in your hands, garbage. But you put it in this Zen Grip, and it just feels amazing because it feels like a proper Xbox controller. It's got the same grip around your hands that a proper controller would have, and it means your thumbs are in the right position as they would be on an Xbox controller. It changes the whole game. So those two accessories, and the Satisfy Grip is about £30, but seriously, if you've got a Switch and you're just playing in handheld, and you're just playing the Switch as is, or even your Switch Lite, because you can get these grips for Switch Lites as well, you're missing a trick. It'll change the whole game if you get one or both of these little accessories. Best accessories I've got for my Switch.
Okay.
So that's all I wanted to talk about this week. I've got no other games other than Valheim, so we can crack right onto Valheim if you want.
So Valheim, yeah.
Valheim indeed.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been playing this, but I'm pretty certain I've put in the most hours. It's close, but I may have had a couple.
You've put a shift in. Yeah.
May have had a couple of days off to use, so they went to Valheim. Now, for those of you who aren't aware, it's a Viking-themed survival game made by Iron Gate Studios, who are a tiny production crew from Scandinavia. And as we mentioned earlier, released at the beginning of Feb. So you drop in, as you should in all survival games, completely naked. No equipment, no nothing, in the wilderness. Get on with it. It also doesn't tell you the controls. So it took me a little while to figure out inventory because I'm used to everything being on the lettered keys, and it's not. It's on the sidebar. Mm-hmm. So I just ran around going, like, I don't know where all my stuff is.
You can play with a controller, remember?
You can.
That was key for me.
Yeah, although don't you use a controller and mouse now?
I use a controller, but to access some of your inventory items and the hotkey stuff, it's easier to just use the keyboard and mouse along with your controller. So you use most of the things for controller, but then it's just easier to use some things with the mouse and keyboard.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, I mean, it's a good game. It's really fun. I even like the graphics. I know they're very basic, very simple, old school poly style, but I think it works quite well as an art style for the game.
Oh, okay, let me just jump in there. The graphics are absolutely liquid dog shite, but if you look up at the sky, it looks amazing.
Oh, the skybox, like, is phenomenal, yeah.
The sky looks incredible. The world looks like a dog is shat and smeared.
I disagree. I think it's basic graphics, but I that's what they're going for. And I actually think things like the depth of field and stuff like that, I think it's gorgeous. When you're running through a forest and, like, it's sunrise and the sun's coming through the trees, I think it looks incredible.
Yeah,
it doesn't look sunrise. Like real life, but that's not what they're going for.
The sunrise, especially when we were on the sea, the sunrise, like, coming up and the orange and hitting the water and stuff, it does look okay. But the sky looks amazing.
Sky looks amazing. And to be honest, I don't think either of you have been there during a storm, have you? Like a full-on thunderstorm?
Day one. Yeah,
those are pretty awesome.
Broke
or something. Yeah.
The lighting off the rocks is pretty cool at night.
Well, fair enough. You see, there's a lot of positives about it, even though you think it looks like dog shit. It doesn't.
Yeah, but no, I don't hate it. No, I don't, like, right, no, let me clarify what I've just said. Like, comparing this game to any other game, it looks like dog shit. But I'm not saying that means that you can't enjoy playing it or whatever. I'm just saying it doesn't look good. Objectively, it looks like wank. That's all I'm saying.
Ben, objectively, you're wrong. But sure, yeah.
No. Objectively, it looks like wank. It's fine.
You're using the word objectively wrong. That's the biggest issue.
No. I'm using it entirely correctly, Pete.
You're being deeply subjective about it.
You are subjectively saying it looks good. I am objectively saying to you that in video games, this is bad.
Ben, do you remember the bit from last week where you said, I'm objectively wrong?
I was thinking that.
Can we copy that
was.
And play it now?
I was.
What
I will
like as well.
No, but guys, what I will liken this to is Ark looks amazing now, but in early... I'm joking around because this is an early access game, and when Ark came out, it was years ago, but it looked well worse than this. This plays well. It looks good for what it is. But they're going to make some tremendous improvements to the ground graphics. It's going to look great. But honestly, the sky already looks fucking phenomenal.
It does, yeah. It does. And so on the basics, I mean, a lot of the time is spent resource gathering, as you expect in survivals. And the base building is quite in-depth for an early access game. There's quite a lot of detail to it, and you can make some quite interesting structures going on. Our mead hall is just pretty basic, the one I've made for us, but some people have already gone into insane depth with it.
What you've done so far, though, like, I mean, I left Pete alone for like one day. I had like one day off, and then I came back. I said, what the fuck? Oh, you've done everything. I started my own world, Eddie, because I was like, right, I need to actually play by myself to learn the basics, because Pete has created a world already and I'm not.
Didn't you remember when we both logged on the first time and he was like, I've got this, and I was like, no, I'm right, I want to do that myself, so that I know. And you went, yep, got it, now what? I'll build a trench. I was like, Pete, do you want to learn how to kill people?
Nah,
he gave me that.
No, but on Saturday, like, I saw Pete playing and I was like, let me just take an hour and a half to start my own thing, just to see how this game fucking works, because else I'm just going to be left behind. At least I know the basics now. And then I got into the real world, and then people's like, right, I've got this all armor for you. I've got this full kit. What weapon do you want? Do you want an axe? Do you want a mace? Do you want a... Right, okay. Yeah, great, man. I'm kitted out. Let's go to a boss.
And this is the thing, wasn't it, is I think already I can tell after 15, 20 hours of gameplay, it's better multiplayer. It's better with your mates. It's a charming game in its own way, and there's quite a few things to keep you interested in. I'm sure that people who are really into survival games would love this on their own. But for me, the 2-hour trip me and Ben took yesterday was probably the most fun I've had so far. And we didn't even achieve that much, really. Like a good, at least not in the first hour. The first hour was mostly made out of trying to steer the ship, trying to stop Ben killing himself by jumping off the ship.
That is, yeah, that can happen.
Steering into and out of a cove that was very obvious.
I've got to admit, Ben, what's good about this game as well is I always assumed you were bad at games because you always say how difficult games are. And holy fuck, was that realized the first time we played? Yeah, Every 5 minutes, I'm dead. What? You can't be dead. Yeah. You were collecting berries. I'm almost dead. No, I'm dead.
What a pity.
This was actually a
joyous side note on our boat trip. It was about 10 minutes out from our port. Ben just looked off the side and went, oh, look, I died here. And there was just a little totem from where he died on the first night. No recollection of when he'd been there. No reason he'd have needed to go there. He's just died there.
Yeah, but the problem is when you're in the woods, you're cutting shit down and stuff, you know, death happens.
And actually, that's an important public service announcement moment. The most dangerous enemy in the early game is the trees.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way, didn't I?
Did I actually kill you with a tree?
Yes, you know you did. I've died twice. Once because you fucking went, oh, you can drop trees like this. Lands on my head, I die. And the second time, you didn't build a fence around your pit of death.
By pit of death, you mean chimney. And by the way,
you've got to protect the chimney.
When you next log in, you'll see what's happened. Yeah, it'll be fine.
One of the funniest moments was Eddie going to the top of our building and then falling to his death down the chimney and then saying, guys, I don't know if you're aware, but there's a big fucking hole in the middle of the building.
Watch out, lads. There's a big hole in the middle of the building.
Can I point out, however, I really like the attention to detail that if you don't find a way to vent smoke from the fires you have, you die of smoke inhalation.
You know what? I'm glad you said that, Pete, because I think this game could be amazing because of the little things that are incredible. So like the ventilation, you getting wet and then you go in shelter and then when you're near a fire, you become warm and with the cold. And there's so many little things that are brilliant about this game, like the attention to detail. And this is early access at the moment. You would have thought with the game, normally they kind of build a building box and add really cool things. This game already has really cool things. So my God, this could be good.
All of those details are full buffs or debuffs as well. So like wet does make things more difficult. It makes shooting your bow more difficult for one. And being warm and things like that have bonuses as well. So being rested, for instance, is like huge bonuses to your stamina regen, which is quite a handy thing to have. So they're all interweaving into how you play the game, which is a very good thing.
And just to summarize, like with the actual game itself, like the goal of the game in each area and stuff, like it is a survival game in its heart, and it is a base building type game and resource collecting and everything, building up your armor and weapons. But the point of it is there are currently how many bosses in the whole game?
There's nine bosses, and the story behind it is they're the enemies of Odin, it being Norse themed, and you're hunting down the stuff to go and kill them. So the first boss is very close by to where you start, but the others can be randomly placed in whatever biome it is across the world, which, as we've seen, is massive. Absolutely huge world.
It's huge.
And we've actually got unlucky in ours, haven't we, Ben? Because the reason for our sailing trip was that the second boss is miles away on a completely different island.
Yeah, it is. But I suppose it was unlucky because we had a joyous time for an hour trying to sail to with the wind in the right direction, getting to a new place to set up a new base and then a portal between our original base and the new base and everything. And it was actually quite a joyous time. And how else would I know that you couldn't access the map and then press B without jumping out of the boat? How else would I have found that out?
That was fantastic. And I mean, there are.
You learn by dying.
You do learn by dying.
I did not die. Though I died about 9 times on the first night, Eddie, and I have died maybe once afterwards.
Wow, yeah, so pro.
I'm a fucking pro, baby.
There was actually a fight yesterday. I thought Ben would die very quickly. We had a troll on us, which are huge. And yes, can one-shot you. Okay. And about 6 skeletons come at us at the same time. So I'm obviously there trying to make sure that we take down the troll first. And it's just chasing Ben. And Ben's kiting technique is erratic? Successful?
Erratic. But contributed quite successfully.
It worked very well, yeah. But I literally was letting myself get hacked apart by these skeletons just to be like, if we don't take the troll down, I will lose on my own. So, just watching these skeletons just stabbing me as I'm taking bow shots at the troll.
Set that troll on fire. Set it on fire like a little bitch, baby.
Yeah. It was like watching Ben wait until the very last millisecond to jump out of the way of the telegraphed strike.
Look, just like, I play Dark Souls, man. I know what's going on. I know what's going down.
You're a real gamer. You're a real gamer. Yeah.
Exactly. I play hard games and I succeed. So what do you want?
Other important notes for people who are looking for a new game. Valheim is literally 15 quid. It's obviously early access, but it's going to improve. And the download on PC, at least, is 1 gig. It does not take space. Like, it's quick. It works. There's very few bugs other than the one mentioned in the news that I can see. Just all round worth it.
My one critique is that my female character doesn't look at that female.
You're wearing a giant cloak and a helmet, Ben.
Just looks like another man. So that's my one critique of the game. No, I think the one thing, and I think this does kind of lead us on a little bit.
Massively.
What we've seen so far of this, and we know there are like 9 biomes, I think 3 of which are not populated yet. I think they've said that they're not done yet. My real question with this game would be, where is it going to go? Because the first boss to the second boss and the 2 areas and stuff, not much of a difference in what's going on there. Like, everything looks quite similar in those two specific regions in that one place.
I mean, you'd probably have had a harder time if I hadn't given you second area gear straight away. But yeah,
I think you're missing the point. Like, the actual places, the place itself looks identical. Like, it's just that it's a very, very similar feeling looking game. Like, and the dungeons between one place to the next, it's just the dungeons are procedurally generated, but they are identical. And there's nothing really going on. So I don't know how deep that'll be, but maybe when you get to biome 7 or something, the world is completely different. This kind of opened up my thinking in terms of us doing a feature this week. And really said, like, I've really enjoyed playing with you and playing with Eddie, but I'm not the main guy for these types of games. Like, I'm a guy that will jump on and play for a bit, and I can't really host a server kind of thing, because I'm not going to be the guy dedicating millions of hours to these games. But what I would like to do is get into a game where I could dedicate a lot of time, and that be my game, my go-to game for most nights of an evening or something.
Most nights of an evening?
Most nights of a week, sorry. that's what I want. And off the back of Valheim, and I think we're going to play it throughout the whole of this week, aren't we?
We're
going to be doing it, and we're going to see what how it progresses. But it really pointed me back to when I used to play Ark, because that had a tremendous difference between start of game and then where you see YouTube videos of people playing like their end game with their tribes and their fucking with machine guns on pterodactyls, like fucking tearing around the islands. Like, it's completely different to you just waking up on the fucking little beach and punching a seagull. It's completely fucking different. So my real question was, like, off the back of Valheim, ready to jump into one of these games for us to play. I think we've all kind of agreed. We've played Valheim. Maybe we'll think about getting into one of these games properly. Which one should we choose? So let's have a chat about what makes the good survival or non-survival, but multiplayer game online, and which ones we could potentially be getting into in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah. So that sounds good.
And, but I'm a relative novice to these types of games. So, like, what really makes a good survival game? Like, as an online with mates, what makes a good survival game?
Mm. For me, it's progression. I cannot play a game, and I think that's why I'm not sold on... is it Sea of Thieves? That's it, isn't it? Mm. Pirate one.
I knew immediately you're going to turn down Sea of Thieves. God fucking damn it.
I need progression. I need to be able to go to bed and go, that last 4 hours of my life was not a waste. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, obviously it is because I'm gaming, but if I'm in...
Eddie, let me stop right there. Never. So that brings my whole life into question when you say things like that. That is just not acceptable. I don't.
But I even accept it with story games, like, because at least with the story games you can say I completed that or I enjoyed that story. But when it comes to, you know, online open world games, if I for example went, if the server got wiped and it's gone, I would feel like that was a waste of an evening. So I need progression. I need to be able to, if I built a base, I want to go back to it and go, that's mine. And the second part of it is it needs to be difficult. I love Valheim. I do. But it's very easy. And the bits that are hard aren't hard because I like to be able to feel like a skill set, you being good at a computer game, impacts the game. So I need to know that my knowledge of a map or my ability to get out of sticky situations will aid me in whatever quest we're doing. So those are the two main things. If those two main things are in a game, then I would be over the moon to play online with some mates.
I think I think you've hit the nail on the head with difficulty for me as well. Although I'll carry at it by adding that generally it's especially if your death can be hilarious. So something like Ark has always had an appeal to me because you can have hilarious deaths.
But don't you think real difficulty comes through PvP rather than PvE? And Valheim is PvE.
Valheim is PvE, although people have talked about the fact that because you can have up to 10 players, you can easily do 5v5 in a world and set yourselves up as a
but you can't hurt. But you can't hurt each other, can you?
Yeah, you can turn on PvP.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, Ben, I'll be honest. You know that first night that we played and you said, why stop hitting me? It's because I went onto the start menu and you can click on PvP. So I kept on doing that and hitting you to see if it hurt you, but it never did.
Right. Fair play.
That's how
play.
I know.
Yeah. So that's it. There is an option. And
it's good to know, Eddie.
There you go.
Obviously,
man.
Yeah, I've not played many of these survival games, I have a history with online multiplayer with World of Warcraft, The Old Republic, and Elder Scrolls Online. And most of them, the most challenging things and the things where you all die or where several of you die hilariously are generally the bits that keep me going. They're the bits that made me want to play it. If you've got a good group to play with and there's a lot of times where you're going to laugh at someone, then I'm going to enjoy it. For one reason, that's Rocket League generally makes that work as well. that's on a short term basis. So difficulty is a big thing.
I get what you mean about the difficulty stuff, and I think that's really important. I think it'd be interesting over the next week to see where Valheim goes. I think that's the main thing. We haven't done much questing, and that's the thing, like with Eddie as well, because you could only play like an evening or two or whatever. We haven't done much questing. Now I think we're just entering those stages of going on proper missions now together and like seeing where we can go and stuff like that. So that's like when I said to you yesterday, Pete, I was like, well, you're like, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, let's we want to have a task, like go somewhere, let's do something. Like that's what makes these games fun, isn't it? Like going out and doing that kind of stuff. But I suppose Valheim's cool because of the setting. Vikings, like Norse mythology, like this kind of purgatory situation that you're in. That's cool. Like the environment is cool as well. And I'm sure as you go to different biomes, it'll go. I mean, there is snow as well in the biomes that we're in, but it may get more extreme, or it could be totally different. That could be quite cool. It's all procedurally generated in Valheim as well, which is very cool. Unlike Ark, which is a set map. I don't know if they've got different maps in Ark now, which would be really interesting, because I obviously have just played on the first map.
They've got a few.
Setting is cool. So I'm interested in what you guys think, because if we're going to decide on a game, so difficulty is one thing, setting, that, because we've got, there's big games out there, aren't there? So there's like there's Raft, there's Rust, there's Grounded, there's Valheim now, Thieves. There's Ark, Sea of Thieves, Minecraft, DayZ, all of these ones. Like the ones that have appealed to me are kind of like, I love zombie type games. I love Ark because of the dinosaur setting. I love Sea of Thieves because of the pirate type look of it. But yeah, the progression and difficulty stuff is a problem if we're going to play it. Raft is also one that I'm really interested in. I think you've played Raft a bit, haven't you, Eddie?
Yeah. I thought it was okay. It's very cartoony, which just does my head in a bit. You know what I don't like about games like that? When I'm stuck in like a small area, I just feel like it's all a bit the same. It's weird, because even on games where I stay in the same place the whole time, I don't get that feeling. But in a game, it's the same with movies. If I watch a movie and the whole movie is in one fucking room, does my nut in, like Saw 1. I was like, yeah, good idea, but I'm just watching the same fucking
scene. Oh, I love it. I love proximity. I call them proximity movies. I fucking love that.
You call it that?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if that's a term, but whatever.
Phone booth.
It's like snakes on a plane. Phone booth, flight plan, Die Hard.
Well, to an extent, a lot of the Tarantino's as well. Like Hateful Eight, 90% of it takes place in one place. Reservoir Dogs,
very true.
Almost all of it's in one place. There's
Eddie,
flashes
like
those,
what, you saying you don't like Die Hard, Eddie? Come on now.
Mm. Oh, come on, Die Hard, that's a bit...
He moves the
thing like Hateful Eight. Eddie? Hateful Eight's a good example. I thought Hateful Eight was extremely poor.
No.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But that's funny, because Reservoir Dogs I thought was fantastic. So there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fair enough. So, I mean, for me, I tend to avoid anything with a real world setting or close to real world. So zombie games tend
When you kill someone, you feel guilty, do you?
No, yeah. I just like proper escapism. So things like No Man's Sky were perfect for me, because then it's brand new. There's nothing you can relate to. So it's like in a lot of zombie games, you'll be like wandering around and you'll be like, oh, look, there's the ruins of the Statue of Liberty or some such thing.
Mm.
Multiplayer No Man's Sky would be so fucking good.
No, I like No Man's Sky on like a single player basis, building the base. But as a multiplayer, what else is there apart from building a nice fancy base? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no difficulty, there's no progression apart from the base. But there's no, like, you know, No Man's Sky is very good at building something so that you can build the next thing. And I feel like with your mates, there's no, as Pete said, like hilarious moments that might happen. You might die in a funny way. You might all come together to kill
that's
one person.
True.
You know
that's
what I
true.
Mean?
See, that's the thing. I think it would need an improvement to the fighting to make No Man's Sky work.
Yeah.
Multiplayer. Yeah. All that stuff about fleet battles and things like that would be awesome if they were done well.
Yes.
But then you've got things like Elite Dangerous.
Yes, true. So what are we saying? So Pete, you're basically saying like games like Rust, you're not interested in playing Rust.
Yeah, things like Rust and DayZ, probably not for me. The setting's just not my style, to be honest. When you start moving around in time, so pushing forward with No Man's Sky or back with Valheim and Sea of Thieves type games, then I'm more interested.
What about a game like Grounded? Have you looked at that one?
I've looked at Grounded. It's quite cartoony, though, isn't it?
It is cartoony, yeah. It's cartoony.
You love your cartoon ones, don't you?
You but, do. He's a big fan of them.
I'm also a fan of games that are on Game Pass. That is on Game Pass, and I played it on PC. It's cool. I mean, I don't know if there's that much content in it as it stands. That's the problem with it.
It is still very obviously the real world, as it were, even if you're tiny.
Yeah, true.
So not ideal. for me. But it, I mean, it's got at least something that's completely trippy about it by being tiny, which changes things more than just a zombie apocalypse does.
So no real world stuff. The what about number of players, like in your clan and tribe and stuff? Because what I'm thinking is, let's say if we're making a choice of a game, if it's PC or console, like obviously you like to play on PC, Pete.
Yeah.
Is it a good thing if you can play on both PC and console cross-gen, cross console stuff? Because then you've got more people in your clan, or is it like, because Valheim is PC only, and I think. And what it does is it increases the difficulty of the more people you've got on your server, up to 10 people. So you can, so if you've got a couple of mates, like the three of us, we could quite happily play that game, and it's absolutely fine. But you play a game like fucking Ark, and you've got three of you, that could be good for a lot of it, but you come up with a fucking wild team of 10, you get slaughtered.
So. Yeah, that is true. And I mean, I've had good experiences in like guilds of up to 200 people in things like World of Warcraft. That's always been fun. You generally will meet people you'll get on with. But I don't think that's what you'd be looking for now. You know, at least if we're looking at survival and open world games, what you want is a good core group of about five, don't you?
Yeah, sounds good.
You're always going to have two. And when everyone's in the same place, it's going to be good. It's going to be the best times. So
yeah, that's it. If you can get five people, you can always get two of you at least online.
Exactly,
which is cool. So yeah, so I think it, like a game that spans PC and console would be pretty cool.
Definitely.
I think kind of leaning one way, like in my mind anyway, the big thing for me is Valheim's early access, so we know it's not going to go in crazy ways from here. Yeah. It's good to play, and it's £15, and we'll get our fill out of it for at least the next week.
Yeah.
But what I really like about these types of games is ones where it does change like wildly from the start to the end. And I don't know what you guys – do you have any experience of like Rust and things like that where – because Ark, for me, is that game. Like I look at – if you look at a trailer for Ark, if you look at like a gameplay trailer, and you're like, when you start, you're like, I could never even imagine being conceivably getting to that stage. My experience of Ark was playing this on my own, playing for about 25-30 hours, and it was like death around every corner. And when I did anything of any good, so I tamed some raptors and stuff, but I tamed like this triceratop or whatever it was, but it was quite a basic kind of animal, and I rode it, and I named it after my pet tortoise, and we were going through, and I took it on a right mission up a map. I was like, right, I'm now gonna actually try and make some headway from one of the easy areas. You can choose where you start or whatever each time you die, but I'm gonna make my base my base in the easy area, and you're like, oh fuck, that's miles away from anything good. And then as soon as like I was roaming, he basically like chased a titan boa into a bush, got killed instantly. That was hours of effort, and I was like, and then I got killed by the titan boa as I was trying to run away, and then all my kit was there, and I was like, well, I'm fucked. Like, I'm just now like, so I've lost everything in one attempt, and it's over. Like, why am I playing this game? Like,
phenomenal. Yeah,
that's my experience of Ark. And then I watch a trailer and people have like fucking guns and shit, and they're fucking roaming around on pterodactyls and stuff, and I'm like, what the fuck, man? That's not the same game.
It's why I've always been interested in Ark, is because that is a huge progression like throughout. And
I wanna fucking ride a megalodon. I want to armor up a megalodon and go fucking roaming.
Ben, I've seen you play games, mate. I would just concentrate on not drowning first.
Another thing that I did was take a raft. Like, I built a raft, and I sailed around from my nice, like, pleasant place just around the side to a slightly, marginally less pleasant place. And then I got attacked by like, every fucking thing in the sea possibly going. It's like everything is trying to kill you. And then you land on the shore because I was trying to get away from shit. It broke my raft or something. I went on the shore. And then I'm in a fucking nest of titan boas. And you're like, oh, my fucking shit, cunt. And then if you don't start in the fucking shit place with the dodos, and you go, all right, well, let's see what a saber-toothed tiger's like. Let's go up there. Let's go to the hard area. How hard can the hard area be? Yeah, instantly cold, freezing to death, saber-toothed tiger, death. Great. Well, brilliant. How does anyone start here? Like,
yeah,
I mean, fair play to anyone who's good at Ark. I'd love to be good at Ark.
Eddie, do you ever wonder if Ben playing Dark Souls is his way of getting into this sort of thing? taught him that dying was fine.
That's why he fucking loves it so much.
Pete, I told you at the time, like, Dark Souls was my Everest, because I had, for me, it was like, that was me telling myself I could do games. Because before that time, you're like, you play games, you complete games, and you're like, yeah, I'm a gamer and stuff. But I always knew in my heart of hearts, like, whenever games were too hard, I'd go like, ah, fuck it. But that's what I said to you. I was like, I cannot not complete Dark Souls.
Yeah.
I must do this.
If you didn't beat it, then there's a chance that you might have gone, I'm not good at gaming. I'm going to have to just put it away. I'm going to have to take up a sport or something.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to have to.
And I've seen you at sport, Ben. I wouldn't recommend doing that either.
I mean, I do hit the gym pretty hard, but yeah. I'm bad, Nick, but yeah. that is a sport.
I've seen you do cardio, Ben.
That's not a sport. Yeah,
no. Eddie, that is not the gym. Cardio. Put me on a bench. There we go. Right, I think we're going off topic here.
I think we've drifted a long way away from the
what
topic.
So come on then. What are people's thinkings about potential games that we could jump into? We'll play Valheim for the next week. If we really like it, I think we should jump into a game which is fully fledged, fully been going. It's got a beginning, middle, and end, and it's got a proper progression system. What are you guys kind of thinking?
There's a few games that I've got in mind. You know what? Conan Exiles, I've had this on my wish list for a while, but only as a single player, because they've got the whole thrall system. Have you seen that, where you can break people and use them as like defenses on your base and stuff? Have you seen that?
I haven't. But I've heard Conan, I've mixed reviews, because I've heard it gets bad reviews, but good review scores, like user scores.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I can imagine why, because, yeah, on face value, it looks okay. But then there's so many things that are involved in it that could actually be really entertaining. So basically, with the thralls, you break people, you take them to your base, and you can use them as like archers on the walls, or as like wizards and stuff. And you can even now, with the recent updates, you can like take them with you and stuff. It looks bloody brilliant. And you have people invade your base, so that could be quite entertaining.
So you're saying it's not a good multiplayer game, or is it?
No, I think it's good enough to be a single player, and that's what I've been waiting for. Oh, however, right, okay. I could imagine it being fucking great fun with multiplayer.
I think that one could be that one that we investigate, you know, because I have actually heard really good things, and they just recently had an expansion out. They're improving it all the time, and it's that is supposed to be quite a good game from a user rated perspective, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I've got two others. One was kind of DayZ or Rust, but again, I want Pete to be there. So yeah, if that's a no, then that's fine. And then the other one, which I think we're all going to come to the conclusion at the end of the day, was Ark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, Eddie, tell me more about Rust, because I think you've done a bit more research on it than me. From what I can tell, it is post-apocalyptic. But not that big an apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's all about building up your base, and the more people you're with, the better. There are some aspects that I don't like apparently the servers crash and you lose everything and things like that. But as well, like, people come to your base and they invade it. But they do have systems around it, like you can set up like lock boxes and you can hide stuff and yeah, you know. But it's very PvP orientated.
It is PvP. See, that's actually a good thing for me. General, I like PvP servers. Generally, I like it if you're able to defend your stuff when you're not there, which is a worry with Ark
I think, yeah, I'm not sure with Ark, like, at what stage you get to the point where you can, because obviously you can fortify the shit out of stuff, and some of the like village kind of complexes that people build are fucking phenomenal. Yeah. But I'm not sure, especially at the start of the game, like in the shitty bases that I used to build, I was basically protecting against dinosaurs coming when I wasn't on the server and just fab like a Diplodocus or something, just fucking boshing shit up. But yeah, so I'm sure somebody could just like come in and just steal your shit. But you can like lock your stuff and things like that, and you know, it's a which one guy I remember didn't, and I stole all his stuff, and I felt a bit bad actually.
I've actually remembered a Reddit post about Rust Eddie as well, where someone had put up an image of someone's base where they'd spray painted a sign saying, "Please don't take my stuff. I work 10-hour shifts."
Yeah, yeah, I love social media this week. Yeah,
that was a fantastic brilliant. Touch. And but that's the problem with fitting in a game like this around real life, isn't it? Is that if you're not there to defend your stuff, someone can just ruin your playthrough.
Well, Rust as well, because Rust is it also has degradation of your base and stuff. So if you don't pay it, if you're not around for a few days or whatever, your actual base and
I think it's quite a while. I think it's I believe it's 1 week. Normally
two weeks
in holiday, so it is a long fucking time. And they've done you know, if you're playing it, you're playing it. You know what I mean? Like. I'm gaming every single night. So.
I heard that Rust was particularly demanding for it was demanding in its assumption that is the main game that you're playing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You better get ready to get PvP'd.
Yeah. Now, I mean, overall, I think I still lean towards Ark.
What about that download size, Pete?
No, I was going to say that is the drawback. 60 gig.
Oh, that's not as much as I thought it was. I thought it was a hell of a lot more.
Oh no! Wait. Was it the one that was 200? Let me just double check.
I thought it was the 200.
It might be the 200 spot. In which case, it's a big game. It is the 200. Yeah. Game Pass. It's completely free, but it takes up all of your hard drive and a bit more.
I can't see how it's that much anyway. I don't understand that. As hell.
I think it must be because of the different islands now and stuff, because
pre-rendered is always going to take up more space as well, isn't it? Because of the detail level.
Exactly. And but that's why the Ark now graphically looks fucking brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, for one thing, I think it's good that there's so many options. I think that's a very good thing in general. So we've talked about a lot of them already, but you think how many more games there are like this. All different niches are covered. And I'm really glad we are going to take a week to play Valheim. But I think maybe taking a week afterwards to look at Ark, at least from my perspective, let's look at Ark. I can free the space up. It means I'll actually have to uninstall Warhammer Total War, but that's probably a good thing because it means it won't distract me from this.
I'd enjoy
Bash. You know, I said to you guys, what, months ago, I said, I never followed through, obviously, but I said Ark for our game. I thought it back then, and I still think it now.
It's a brilliant game. I've chucked some hours into it already, and it's, not only is it a brilliant game, but like working with people, it could be so entertaining because you've got the dinosaurs that are after you, and it's extremely challenging in the sense of, I can imagine even late game when you're completely kitted up, if you come across the wrong dinosaur, you're going to be screaming to your mates to help you.
What, five of you taking down a woolly mammoth? Awesome. I remember when I first started playing that game, I died instantly all the time. I just walk towards a bush and then I get like a hive of bees attack me or something. I remember it turned to night, right? And I built this little fucking thing, like just a little thing poking out the ground. And I stood and I crouched under it, and it was nighttime. And I was like, this made me slightly marginally warmer. I had nothing. And there was a guy in full kind of like almost like space gear walked towards me and just looked at me, and he must have just thought, "You pathetic pile of shit. You have nothing and you don't know what you're doing. You've got a little fucking twig that you're poking dodos with." And then he just went.
You weren't even worth his time to kill.
I wasn't even worth it. He just looked at me and just went, "Nah."
Don't waste my breath on him.
No, no, you've got nothing. You haven't even got a fucking loincloth, you fucking twat.
Yeah. He probably was annoyed he'd wasted time looking at you.
Yeah. I just had a little small sheath of wood sticking out of the ground for me to crouch under whilst it was fucking dark, and I thought, well, if everything's killing me for the day, then I'm definitely going to die at night.
And mate, you need some friends.
That is art, man.
Yeah, you do. Okay, well, that's my arc. I think we have to play some arc, but I think it's also worth saying that if anyone's got any other open world multiplayer games to throw in the mix, do feel free to get in touch. Ben, how can they reach us?
You always do this to me.
Yeah, you're that guy.
It's podcast at grumpygamers.co.uk, and the Twitter is at grumpygamerspod.
Nice. Is it? I think it is. You didn't do double out, which is what
I consciously did not. I consciously didn't double out.
It took a long gap, which I assume you're going to edit out. You took a long gap in between saying that.
It makes it harder for me to edit it out now that you said it.
Now that we've mentioned it, yeah. It was a really long gap as well.
You go, what? There's
really?
No long gap.
It was like, what, like 30 seconds for you?
There was literally no long
gap. And you heard Ben weeping in the background. You can do it.
I'm better than this. Come on.
I'm not better than this.
I can't do it. I'm not better than this.
My gosh, 5 for 5 minutes in arc.
Five minutes on your first attempt. Yeah, well, there are trees about in Valheim, mate.
Yeah, to be fair as well, Ben.
And in arc, you get thirsty. So.
Yeah. We should always remember as well, Ben's first death was trying to cross a small stream. It was about 8 foot.
Fucking ran out.
I made it to the other side, but then just when you've got there. No stamina, you can't climb out. Yeah. Okay, just died. Just died, man.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and it's, what does it say? Like, you've lost skill points and things. Like, I didn't have any. Yeah. Didn't have any.
You were straight zeros all the way down. It was fine.
Yeah, boy.
Well, I think it's a time for GG and time for us to actually go and play some Valheim.
Yeah, let's go. So it's GG.
GG.
GG.